God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. There's a phrase a friend of mine who's Jewish taught me, and I don't really bungle it. I just paraphrase it, and it goes like this. When you're lenient but should be firm, you will eventually be cruel when you should be kind. And I think if you will examine some decisions you've made in your life, and very commonly parenting, when you were lenient but should have been firm, eventually you were cruel when you should have been kind. Interpersonal relationships. Leniency and being friends with people who you know are straying, and eventually you cut off the friendship, right? You're being lenient when you should be firm. Employees. Now you let this go and let that go, and this person's late and not paid attention to this task. And so eventually you come across and, hey, I got to let you go. And it could be at the worst time. It could be at a time where they just need the money, really struggling with their family, but you can't do it anymore. And your leniency contributed to that. In our own lives, being lenient with ourselves. Yeah, you know, not really in the word, but right, you can end up being cruel to yourself. Because you suffer a correction God can only lay out for our own good. Lenience, laziness, sometimes it can feel like the same thing. Now, the Democrat Party has built a platform of lenience in the following ways. Anything that destroys the fabric of America, they're lenient upon. This is not a mistake. This is not it's not a personality conflict or error. This is a political design. It's called selective tolerance. And it was created as a theory, a political theory, by a professor we rescued from Germany, a guy named Herbert Marcuse. And he was a deconstructionist. And what he did is, as a college professor, he taught that the way to take down a Western democracy is with selective tolerance. So you are selectively tolerant. You're tolerant of sleeping around, but you are intolerant of the rules that God laid out for marriage. You are tolerant of street protests, even street protests that become riots. You are intolerant of people who speak out against the riots. You are tolerant of that which tears the West apart. Trans women are women, they scream. You're tolerant of that. You're tolerant of men who now, because of the Washington State's so-called Supreme Court, in Washington State, women who work at a not tanning salon, but a Brazilian wax salon, they can be forced to touch men in their most private places. So can the owners of the salons. They're forced to do that. They have to be tolerant. After all, trans women are women. And so are their male parts. Those are female male parts. Selective tolerance, Herbert Marcuse. There are people in government who were brought up under Marcuse. And those theories have been put into play. And many of them don't even understand anymore that this was once a theory, that this was once taught, that this is taught behavior. They don't understand that any longer. It's now just something of a muscle memory, spiritual or mental muscle memory. just how they do things. We're the tolerant ones. So they tolerate crimes that we shouldn't tolerate. They tolerate trafficking they all across the board. Now, the good news is that God is at work. People are seeing this. The bad news is this has made it into states like Texas, truly. This is Texas State Representative Steve Toth recording Democrats going on the House floor to argue that people who steal your house should be allowed to stay.
Democrats have fought for 2 hours for the right. I don't even know how to say this, for the right of people that don't belong in your house to stay in your house in the event that you leave for a month or two and a squatter goes in and takes your house over. Democrats are fighting for the ability of those people to be able to stay in your house. It's the most jacked up thing I've ever heard.
Now, incidentally, that's the case in the separate country of Washington State. That's the case. No, in California, too. It's very, very difficult to get a squatter out. There's a guy in California who has a YouTube channel, and he has perfected how to get people out of your house if they have stolen your house and are living in it against your will, because the police can't help, usually. Courts can't help for years at a time. In the separate country of Washington State, this is a fact. You can go out to dinner and come home, and someone has broken into your house and they're living there, and they have as much right to be there as you do. Sure, you have ID that shows that your name is on it in their address. Guess what? So do they. Every one of your neighbors could say, these are our neighbors. They've lived here for 20 years. Those people can say, I've got a right to occupy. This has happened. Selective tolerance. So praise God Almighty the way that he's working. And it's so fascinating to see people with their sense of right and wrong. And many of them do connect it back to God Almighty, because God Almighty gave us a sense of right and wrong. The Apostle Paul tells us, even if we've never heard the Lord Jesus, never heard his word, never read the Bible, the Old or the New Testament, God has encoded into us things that are right and things that are wrong. Listen here to these black residents of Chicago ripping into so-called Mayor Johnson for blocking Trump and ICE from deporting illegal immigrants.
You all sit up there and said you will not allow Trump to come in here and get these illegals. Yeah, you can smile. We're in a $1 billion deficit. And you spent half of our money, half of that, on illegals.
Provision. That's what's going to happen to you.
Mr. Brandon Johnson, I'm up here. I am speaking right now, so I would love your undivided attention, please. I'll wait. So this just proves to you the lack of leadership that you show in this city. You can't even give me straight eye contact.
You so strong about protecting those aliens, but you won't do nothing for the U.S. citizens.
Incidentally, that gentleman who said, I'd appreciate your full attention, Brandon Johnson, the so-called mayor of Chicago, was having a little side chat. Purposeful. It's a demoralization tactic. I'm mayor and you're not, and yeah, you get to speak, but you can't make me listen. But God is at work. People are sensing, oh my gosh, something is so, so wrong. I think one of the questions we should be asking is, why do you think they're so wrong? These people have departed some of God's easiest teachings. Don't steal. Stealing citizenship is stealing. Don't covet. Let's be firm. Because when you're lenient but should be firm, eventually it'll be cruel when you should be kind. So yeah, we're scooping up entire families. Some people who've lived here their entire lives, and sending them home because of the leniency. Because again, selective tolerance. Herbert Marcuse, we're going to tolerate mass illegal immigration. But we're not going to tolerate a business underreporting their income by $600. Oh, we'll crush you then. You're a surfer during COVID, out by yourself on a beach, we'll crush you. You're an illegal immigrant with hepatitis on the streets of Seattle, as happens, we can't do anything. They're the special people. And God is at work. In this video, another black woman spoke out against the fact that Medicaid, or the idea that Medicaid should benefit anyone who enters the country illegally.
So are we not going to talk about the 1.4 million illegals that's on Medicaid? 1.4 million illegals that's on Medicaid. Just to give you a visual of what that looks like, it's the population of Hawaii. It's the population of New Hampshire. That's how many illegals is on our Medicaid system.
The selective tolerance has just dramatically, profoundly, negatively affected the black community. Herbert Marcuse's idea, you are tolerant of anything that tears down the United States, tears down families. So you're tolerant of a government that divides families with welfare. Father has to leave. They have too much income. You're tolerant of gang shootings in black communities where the number one cause of death of young black men has become young black men. You tolerate that. Oh, but you have someone who fails to report the purchase of, let's say, a magazine for a weapon in New York, and they're not tearing down the United States, crush them. Selective tolerance. And God is at work in the black community. And he should be. My gosh, what a sin. Praise God. He knows what should be, not me. But the black church has been under attack. I mean, all churches are. But black pastors are beginning to stand up. They're beginning to understand that the church is under attack. And black men are standing up. And there's a multiplication process here that's so, so important. Those last two clips I played, they're just people like you and me. They have access to social media like you and I do. They can speak God's wisdom as well as you and I. They spoke some very simple truths. These illegal immigrants who are stealing taxpayer dollars and taxpayer votes via the electoral college distribution, you shouldn't be allowed to stay. This is a simple truth. And what happens here is that other black people can say, wow, I'm not crazy. I also have these so-called conservative ideas. See, there's something really magical about this. Before talk radio came on the scene in full with Rush Limbaugh really being the guy who brought that forward, no one had ever heard conservative ideas expressed on the radio. It had never happened. When it happened, conservatives said, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy. There's someone who thinks like me. Because of what AFR does, people hear the news entwined with God's word. That doesn't happen very commonly. And it gives other people a courage. I'm not crazy. This also happens when well-known black people speak up. Representative Wesley Hunt in Texas had a rebuttal for Whoopi Goldberg's latest take on race.
My district in the great state of Texas is actually a white majority district that President Trump would have won by 25 points. As I said, I'm a direct descendant of a slave. My great-great-grandfather was born on a Rosedown plantation. I am literally being judged not by the color of my skin, but by the content of my character. That's the progress because, like, a lot of white people had to vote for me. A lot.
So wait, are you
so still? I don't even ever want to hear Whoopi Goldberg's conversation about how it's worse to be black in America now. That's a bit far.
It is a bit far, and it's purposely so. God is at work in Hollywood as well. There are people now beginning to speak openly about their faith in Hollywood, of all places. God is at work in the black churches. God is at work in the borders. No, there are people who now have realized that all of this tolerance was never really tolerance. It was selective. It was political. It was for destruction, not lifting up. That's not what God wants us to do with one another. In a marriage, we're to come under and lift up. In a Christian body, when one member of the body hurts, we're all to hurt. We'll talk in the next segment about hurting churches and churches being purposely hurt. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Welcome back to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Next segment, we'll get to a cleanup item, tower babbling, and a personal note. I don't think it's a surprise that the church is under attack. God is at work. Satan's doing his work. We who've given ourselves to Jesus and have been washed in his blood, accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we're saved. We're not of this world. We're in it. And it's still not fun to watch our world attacked. We who've read to the end of the book, we know God wins at the end of the Bible. We know that. We know that he's unbeatable, undefeated, obviously. Still, it behooves us to be aware of the attack lines that are going on. And it starts now with the churches and families. And I want to go back to talk about, just real quickly, we touched on last segment, Herbert Marcuse. He was a leftist professor, ironically, like a lot of those guys, rescued from Germany. As Germany was going to war, brought over here, and he quickly went about trying to destabilize America with his brilliant theory of selective, or sometimes called repressive, tolerance. It's oxymoronic on design, by design. You are selectively tolerant of that which tears down America. Okay, repressive tolerance. You repress that which promotes America. So I'm touching on that because there were some battle lines they knew they needed. They needed to be able to get into the media. They knew they needed to get into academia. They knew they needed to get into the churches and ultimately to the families. See, families, that's end stage color revolution stuff. You know, Mao spoke about a year zero. And in the year zero, the previous the new generation divorces itself from the previous generation. Intellectually, spiritually, societally divorced. It is not a mistake that critical theory, critical race theory, critical gender theory, critical sexual theory, critical Christian theory has gone from being taught by people like Marcuse at a college level, then into high schools. And now you have elements of these destructive theories being taught in grade school. When little kids in kindergarten are taught that they're oppressors by virtue of the fact that they're sitting in a chair on land that at one time had belonged to the Algonquin people, and prior to that, another tribe, and prior to that, yet another tribe. They never talk about that fact. That's a critical theory. The job is to get to year zero. And year zero is the point at which the younger generation divorces itself entirely. So you have a younger generation who says, my parents don't even understand that trans women are women. My parents still think the only way to God is through the Christian God. My parents still think America does some good in the world. And it's not a design that in schools, particularly in the separate countries like Washington and Oregon and California, Illinois to a degree, Delaware, Massachusetts, New York, that in schools, they've been telling kids, don't go talk to your parents about issues related to sex or gender, particularly if your parents are Christian or conservative. Don't do that. Talk to us. We are the trusted adults. That is not a mistake. It's not just about the topic of sexuality. It is about the topic of who are your parents. The goal of the state, the leftist state, what I would regard as the satanic state, is to become the parent. And in the pro-kidnapping states of Washington and California and Oregon, that's happening by virtue of misgendering. Okay, it's critical theory taught in master's degrees and then in undergrad and then in high school, junior high. Now these critical theories are in the lesson plans of little kids. And it's always deconstructionism. So they're deconstructing churches and they're deconstructing families. The gender issue is being used in both. Okay, it's being used to divorce churches, to divide them. It's being used to divide families. It's being used to attempt to destroy truth. Of course, they can't destroy truth because God himself is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But the churches are under attack. This pastor, who pretends he's a woman, shared some song lyrics in reaction to the Supreme Court's decision to allow states to ban the transing of kids.
No matter what they say or think about me, I am a child of God. No matter what a court says or thinks about you, you are a child of God. No matter what the world says or thinks about us, we are children of God, friends. We are ones who God has made. We are ones who God loves. We are ones who God is proud of.
Okay. That God is proud of. He's speaking here about people who are gender defiant or gender confused. God loves humankind. God loved us so much that he sent his only son. So all who believe in him and serve him, recognize him as Messiah, Lord and Savior, and seek to abide with him are saved. Blood of Christ, not something we can earn, free gift. And God is not proud of lies. You shall not lie. God is not proud of people who affirm lies. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A friend will say, I'm sorry, I cannot go along with you and pretend that you're now suddenly another gender. I can't pretend with my kids. But the tools of the revolution continue. The ways that they use this to divide the church are not always new. The gender stuff is pretty new for most people, although it's been going on in earnest for about a decade of transing kids mentally and physically and then mutilating them. That's been going on for a longer time than most people think. But using sexuality and critical theory to tear down churches. And there's critical sexual theory, there's critical Christian theory, there's liberation theology, which of course is not a theology, it's a political structure. There's black liberation theology, which is a race-based pseudo-theology, which isn't theology at all, it's just a political construct. It's the same thing as Marcuse, selective repressive tolerance. It's Marxism rebranded. It's not always new. There's a reverend who has been championing this, and I think he's a minister, but maybe reverend. This is James Cone. I know he's a minister. This is James Cone who wants you to believe in this false equivalency.
Well, it was in the white churches that the white God and a white Christ enslaved and separated blacks from the white community. Today, black and white churches are doing the same thing, excluding queer people from their communities, saying, I love the sinner, hate the sin. But I say, as long as you are silent and do nothing about homophobia and white supremacy and all these other evils, you are just as guilty as the one who hung black on trees and queer people on picket fences.
Okay, taking a breath. There might be churches, because I haven't seen every church, and maybe you have. Maybe you've seen the church that has a sign up front that says, same-sex attracted people not allowed. Or they'd probably use the world's nomenclature, gay people not allowed. Perhaps you've seen those churches. I haven't. And incidentally, even with the protection churches have from government intervention, that one would get called out. People would be sued for that. Maybe you've seen churches that say so-called transgender people are not allowed. I haven't. And maybe they exist. Now, you could also just have the treatment of people. You could have, you know, a church where someone confesses that they have same-sex attraction and they're shown the door. I imagine that happens. Or people who confess gender confusion and they're shown the door, like find another church. I imagine that happens. I don't know that Jesus smiles upon that. I believe we'd have an opportunity or should give an opportunity to say, oh, these are some feelings you have. Are these things you want to do? Do you want to continue to sin in this particular way? Are you an active participant in same-sex activity? If so, is that a thing you want to continue? Because the Bible teaches us that sex outside of marriage is wrong. The Bible defines marriage as one man and one woman. And in all but very, 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 very tight circumstances, that marriage is forever. So is this a sin you want to continue in? Because there are certainly people in churches, evangelical, Catholic, Methodists, what have you, who are adulterous or have committed adultery. And here's the dividing line. If someone is in a church community and they are trumpeting sin as virtue, and they are broadcasting their sin, you are now veering into making the body of Christ sick. And when a church sponsors this and says, yes, we know that's going on, we know those people are a throuple, three people in a relationship, a sexual relationship, we know they're a throuple, but they're super nice. And we know it's obvious, they all hold hands together, but we can't sponsor the sin. God can't be near sin. He forgives, he's anxious to forgive. He's loving and wants to take us back, wants to step us back from sin, but he cannot be around people who wantonly, consistently sin and trumpet it. That's not saying same-sex attracted people aren't in church. That's saying, please come. Because we all struggle with things. All of us struggle with things. Every single person struggles with things. But we don't trumpet them. We don't want to turn them into virtues. And I know there are people who will say, but wait, Todd. The difference here is same-sex attracted couples who are in this of their own volition are not harming anybody. Guys, that can't be a Christian belief. It can be a universalist belief. If you believe that everybody gets to heaven, then you could say, okay, two consenting adults in a sexual relationship aren't harming anybody. And I could point out some biological realities of what can happen to bodies, and I don't want to do that because people in this audience understand, okay, there is some harm. But only from a universalist perspective or from an atheist perspective where you die and that's it. You're a biological being that was here. Now you're gone. You have no memories. No one will ever remember you because there's nothing after this. At that point, you could make that argument. We're not harming anybody. But if you believe in the Christian God and Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me, you cannot then believe that continuing to sin in absolute defiance of God and bragging about the sin and being proud of the sin doesn't harm you. It clearly harms you from an eternal basis. Well, but I was baptized. It's not hell insurance. You will know them by their fruits. Are you serving the Lord Jesus? Yes, except on matters of sex. So no is the answer. So Minister James Comey says, but we are banning so-called gay people, or I would say same-sex attracted people from church. No, no, they're made by God in his image. They're broken in their way. We're broken in ours. Now, see, what happens and where these people are now beginning to build this idea that Christians cast us out, and this is being built. Their church is built around same-sex attraction. That is the church's raison d'etre. That's why it exists. And they are trumpeting the idea that they were cast out of Christian churches. Well, if you consistently steal and brag about it at church, you're going to be asked to leave in a well-run Christian church. If you're in a well-run Christian church and the pastor is preaching and you consistently make a habit of standing up and saying, nope, Jesus did not, you're going to be asked to leave. Okay? So let me give you an example of this. And we've been using the work of Woke Preacher Clips TV in this segment, Woke Preacher Clips, and also Protestia. This is from Protestia. This woke church has a song with an F word in it, so you know they're serious about their faith.
There might be a swear word. but we will only do it one time.
We're gay. Thank God for that. Christians cast us out. Jesus has our back.
Thank God we're gay. Thank God we're gay. Christians cast us out, but Jesus has our back. And yes, that song continues, and it's a prideful statement of their same-sex attraction. It is singing it as a praise song because God loves it. God loves human pride. God loves human sexual activity outside the bounds of marriage because that's how God made them, and they were cast out of Christian churches. Selective tolerance, repressive tolerance. You're tolerant of anything that tears the country down and tears the family down, and in this case, sadly, tears souls down. The churches are under attack, and praise God that we have a massive network like AFR so we can all be aware of some of the tactics they're using. We'll come back with a cleanup item, tire babbling, and a personal note. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. We'll get to tire babbling here and a personal note in just a second. Just a programming note. On Friday, I'm hoping that if you're in the medical profession, now I'm hoping all of you will listen to this. We're going to run as much as I can possibly fit on this radio program, a discussion with my friend Scott Shara, whose daughter, in my opinion, Scott Shara's daughter, Grace, was medically murdered by a hospital system in Wisconsin and doctors and nurses who conspired to do that. I have no idea if they thought of it as medical murder. I don't know their motivations. I know that the hospitals were paid enormous amounts of money to end people's lives using the hospital COVID protocols. The perverse incentives in that realm of time were so ungodly. The total price tag for taking someone in the door using the PCR tests, which were ultimately fraudulent, and going all the way through getting them taken in, admitted as a COVID patient, eventually getting them on meds and sedatives and getting them on a ventilator, and then being able to record their death as a COVID death, even when it wasn't, was one law firm has estimated it's $500,000 per person to not save lives. And I've heard nurses say on hidden camera or hidden audio, this is in another lawsuit, I heard a mother or a wife say, you know that these drugs are killing my husband. And the nurse said, do you think I don't know that? Do you think I don't know that this is ending his life? This is all we're allowed to do. No, you're allowed to walk out. You're allowed to say, I'll not be party to this. You are, in fact, expected, if you're a Christian person, to say, I can't be party to this. So I know there's great people in the medical system. I know it because a lot of my family's in the medical system. So on Friday, we're going to air as much of the interviews we can fit on the program with myself and Scott Shara. He just lost his court case. He expected to lose it. The evidence, in my opinion, is unbelievably clearly on his side in relation to the death of his 19-year-old daughter with Down syndrome, Grace. The reason I'm asking people in the medical profession specifically to listen is I would love to hear your feedback. So after you listen, get in touch with us either through comments at AFR.com. That goes to the AFR bosses as well. Or at my website, thetoddhermanshow.com. Either will work. Before I get to the tire babbling, just on that topic, the U.S. government, you might think that right now they're backing off the mRNA injections. And there's hope. Robert F. Kennedy replacing the people on the Vaccine Advisor Committee. One would hope that this is the final step towards RFK Jr. saying these things are coming off the market. Because if this is an honest committee, they can't come up with any other conclusion based on the data. And I hope that's enough to get President Trump to agree, or maybe he'll just let RFK Jr. make the decision. Inform New Jersey Nurses informs us of this. BARDA gave Arcticus, a pharmaceutical company, $63 million to develop self-amplifying mRNA, so-called vaccines, designed to replicate inside the body for stronger, longer-lasting responses. The 2025 trials are just beginning. No proven results, but they're continuing to invest in this. There is a huge obsession with getting mRNA code into your body through any means necessary. This has proven to be ineffective at best, deadly at worst. So we should be asking, as skeptical people, God gave us the ability to be skeptical. We should ask why. Why is mRNA so important? From a technical basis, they might say, well, we can speed the process of developing so-called vaccines on this platform. We can use this computer modeling. The mRNA is a platform. We can use that to enter the body. And then once we use the mRNA for this device, we can then change the code later. Yeah, but why, since mRNA has not been good for us? So we should continue to ask those questions. Well, it's frustrating sometimes. We need to honor God in all his decisions. And so we do. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
And got my lipstick on today, so I'm a little bit more together. I cannot live in a country that voted for Trump. I cannot spend another 4 years under that man.
Three sound bites in today's Tire Babbling. Ain't that almost always the case? Answer is yes. And we'll start here with sound bites number one. This Palestinian woman claimed she had no food, no electricity, no water net, no water or internet. And she did that by posting a video online.
People always ask me, how do you even cook if you have no gas, no oven, no stove? The truth is, we don't have anything, but we are Palestinians. And when the world tries to make us give up, we find a way. There are many ways we try to cook now. And today, I will show you one of them.
We call it lahluba.
And then she goes through and shows how this cooking is done. It's fascinating, really. But she posted that on a really sophisticated phone. You can tell by the quality of the video. And by the way, a lot of quick edits, quick cuts, and even a text over the video. Amazing how you can do that without food or electricity. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Democratic Representative Maxwell Frost offers a chilling warning that the rest of the U.S. is at risk of becoming more like Florida.
Project 2025 is actually Florida 2022. Florida 2020. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that's going on around the country right now, we've actually been dealing with in the South for a long time, especially in my state of Florida. So the difference is, it's like the struggle in my state has kind of been just spread throughout the nation.
The struggle of more secure elections, no protests becoming riots. I'm waiting here for the struggle part. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Here's a fantastic example of Pete Hegseth refusing to use the language of the enemy to be controlled and manipulated by the left.
Because if it were, you would be keeping these women in. Instead, you are the one injecting culture wars into the military, and it's at the detriment of our military readiness and national security.
So to be clear, these are men who think they're women.
These are women. I'm happy to educate you on
but these are men,
on trans
so
issues at another
what we've
time.
Identified is that there's mental health issues
I'd
with
like
that
to,
belief system.
I'd like to turn to General
are detrimental
now.
To readiness. And that's the determination that we've made and that we stand behind.
Awesome. Well done. Never have that word put in your mouth. If you're ever having a discussion with people and they use the phrase trans women, so you think trans women, always reset politely. No, I don't mean that because these are men who pretend to be women. Always reset, because if you don't, you lose the argument. In fact, we'll lose. Randy, that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling. That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him
on a disciple's view.
On a personal note today, just a response to an email today. And this comes from Deb, and I've changed some names and some facts in here because I felt this is, I don't want to be hurtful. Hi, Mr. Herman. I know you receive a lot of emails. I'm sorry. Some of them are from me, just a busy time. But I had to write to you for your input on this as you speak about it often. We have a good friend from college who has daughters. We just recently corresponded with them and received a response, one response like this. Yep, just a couple of updates on names. Jenny's non-binary, goes by the name Michael now. They're studying music at NYU, just finished their sophomore year. My oldest is now my son, Peter. He just completed his degree in psychology from Oregon State University. He's moved back here. We couldn't be prouder. Yeah, he was our first college student and did very well in school, despite what anti-homeschooling people might expect. Deb writes, I'm shocked because of who I know this homeschooling family to be, or at least I thought I did, but not shocked because of the days in which we're now living. My husband and I were just talking about how to respond to this email. At first, we thought to thank him for the update on the girls. However, I'd really like to not just to leave it at that, which to him, considering you're using all the lingo, might come off as rude. But I'd like to speak to him as to why I couldn't use the lingo he uses and what I believe. If it were you, and you no doubt have had this conversation with your relative, I think you said your niece, how would you respond? If you had time to share with us personally, that would be awesome. If not, we understand. We appreciate your input. Love your show on AFR. Thank you for all you do and stand for. Blessings, Deb. Thank you, Deb. So I guess my question, the reason I'm doing this as a response, not a personal response, is because, Deb, you're asking a question for a society. So number one, let's go to the Word of God. Are these girls? Yes. Can they become boys? No. Are we to lie? No. So you obviously cannot pretend they're boys. And you'd said that you thought about writing back and saying, thanks for the update on the girls. That might offend them. But you can also be offended. In that he is hoping that you will accept this language, but we're not to take offense. Christian love doesn't keep grievances. So I guess my question is, what's the goal? Is this a long-time friend? Is this someone you're going to interact with a lot? Good friend from college. Okay. Then if it's a good friend from college, are they Christian? If they're Christian, then we would go one-to-one, right? And it would be a, hey, thank you for the update on your family. Can we get on the phone? Some things I'd love to visit about. And on the phone, say, hey, can you help me understand? You're saying that your daughters are now your sons. Can you help me understand that view? And maybe listen to that view? And maybe spend the first phone call listening? And not agreeing. But then going prayerfully and thinking of a response that God the Father would guide? Because if they're Christian, I think it's a far different response. And if they're Christian, it's a reminder, hey, your children were made in the image of God. They were made female. What God has made, science can't unmake. They can mask, but they can't unmake. So from a Christian perspective, this sounds a little sinful to me. And of course, I've committed sins, and you should admit that. I seek to correct those, let the Holy Spirit correct those. And maybe just say, hey, are you worried about that? And if they're non-Christian, you can't expect them to act as Christians. So you can lovingly respond to say, I am so thrilled to know your kids have progressed in school, that they've done well in this, and I hope that you will allow me the honor of explaining to you, I cannot call your kids boys. I do not believe people can change their sex. I will call them by their names they've chosen. They're adult people. They have the right to choose a name. Adults do this. And I cannot, in good conscience, call them boys or men because their biology hasn't changed and their genomes haven't changed. So maybe it's two different responses, definitely with the Christian response first. But then just know this. They've already colored you into a box. They being the people who merchandise gender confusion and are pushing it to divide societies. And the box they've pre-installed you into is a box of hatred and a box of denial of empathy. So into all these discussions, place a huge premium on your love. You said this is a close college friend, someone you're close to in college. Remember that. I will always fondly remember and love the time we spent together in college. I am so warmed and feel such great excitement that your family's done so well academically. I'm going to continue to pray that they do well academically. While I cannot agree with you on the issue of gender, if they're Christian because of God's design and because of the biological reality, if they're not Christian because of what God has told me in the biological reality, and I hope you continue to send updates, because though we disagree on something very, very important, we agree on this. We want our kids to do well. And because I love you as a friend and you love your kids, I extend that love because God first loved us. That's my suggestion, Deb. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because, as I just said, He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God grants us permission to speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.